And now for reading and writing and radio.
Misery is when your grasshopper collection falls off the shelf and you never told your mother you collected grasshoppers.
Misery is when your kite is higher than anyone else's because you let go of the string.
Misery is when your friend gives you a birthday present and you already have it, and you can't say you have it already.
The author of those miseries was Susan Heller, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University. Begin today's program. Here's Ken Ost.
Security is having a good infeel behind you.
Security is knowing you won't be called on to recite. I think everybody knows these two books and other books by Charles Schulz that feature the Peanuts gang, Snoopy and Lucy and Linus and Charlie Brown. There are the comic books that tell the little stories, and then there are the books, Security is a Thumb in a Blanket, and Happiness is a Warm Puppy, Love is Walking Hand in Hand. They're a kind of little book that takes one small experience and describes it. There is another book, in fact two books, that came out shortly after the first Charles Schulz book of this sort. The first was called Misery, and the second was called More Misery. These are books by a woman named Susan Heller. Misery is when you spend your last 10 cents on a good humor and it falls off the stick.
Ooh. Or, misery is when you're the fattest kid in the class and it's time to go to the nurse's office to be measured and weighed.
Misery is when it's Halloween and you're a ballerina and your mother makes you wear your coat.
Misery is when you send 23 valentines to your best friends and only receive 19.
Misery is when you have the class hamster home for the weekend and it disappears into a mouse hole.
Why are those funnier to me, Jackie, than the happiness ones?
I've wondered about that myself. This misery book we latched onto with much more enthusiasm than we did the happiness book and the security book. We had a warm experience once when we were camping. You know, once in a while something happens just spontaneously that everybody enjoys and you never forget it. I think we had one of these little misery books with us when we were camping with another family. And in the evening, sitting around after supper, I think there was a campfire, somebody mentioned his own misery. And this got us going. And kids and adults alike would supply, misery is, misery is. Misery is when you have warts on your hands and you play circle games in gym and you know that nobody wants to stand next to you. I found myself that I was dredging up miseries that I had never told anybody before.
These were all things that happened to you?
They were miserable things that I remembered, and I realized, hearing my own children giving these miseries, that they were giving miseries that had happened to them. And some of them I knew from my mother's perspective and hadn't realized what a miserable experience this had been for the kid. Some of them I'd never heard of at all. And I realized as we were telling these that everybody was giving his own personal experience in a veiled sort of way. You didn't have to say, when I was little, thus and such happened to me, or yesterday, thus and such happened to me. You could say, misery is. And this was so much fun and so revealing of these things that had bothered us that I got thinking, why, the same as you, why is it that we never played that with happiness is or security is, but we did play it with misery is?
And you as a mother benefited from hearing the miseries of your own children, too.
That's right, and I think I also benefited by being able to tell my own misery.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, too, to see if you could top the misery that had gone before, that you would listen and enjoy and sympathize, but then you were ready to give an even worse misery that had happened to you. We had a young friend once, 4 years old, and we were asking various questions that had to do with this good and the bad. And a friend said to this little girl, Allison, which do you remember best, the good or the bad? There wasn't an instant's hesitation. Allison said, the bad. Becky wouldn't play with me. Well, now I'm wondering if we really remember the bad more than we remember the good, the miseries more than the happinesses, or whether we remember the details of the miseries. I think on the whole that I had a happy childhood, and I think that this happiness is reflected in my two books based on my childhood, Paleface Redskins and The Ghost Boat, Summers at the Lake. And yet, when it comes to specific moments of emotion, it's the more traumatic that I remember in greater detail. The happiness is more a diffused sort of feeling that I have a harder time pinning down. But I can certainly remember the moment of being snubbed, or the moment of embarrassment, or the moment of guilt. These moments somehow are much clearer to me. I can see people's faces. I can see the room where I was standing. I can hear the words, what so-and-so said to me at that point, much more in the miserable experiences than in the happiness experiences. I think that it would be fun as a writer or as beginning writers to take these experiences, these miseries, embarrassments, annoyances, sadnesses, happinesses too, and try to recall the things that made you feel that way and to try writing them down. To take these miserable experiences and to put them into a situation where others can share them, where others can say, I know how that felt because I did this sort of thing too.
The miseries and the happinesses are not just the same, although using different emotions. The miseries are kind of specific experiences, aren't they? Whereas the happinesses are feelings. Rather, for example, happiness is an umbrella and a new raincoat. This is not something really happening, but it's a feeling that one has.
I think that's true. I think that the miseries are more often specifically an incident that caused you to feel miserable at one time, whereas the happiness, the sense of joy that you get with new clothes can be more diffused, less specific. And maybe this is one thing that makes the miseries more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's personal experiences, again, that there's so many that we all have that we, as we mentioned before, haven't thought about for a while. I've just dreamed up in discussing incidents that embarrassed us or something. We have so many personal experiences that are rich, that could be great springboards to writing about.
Yes, you see, you don't need to go far, far away for your material. We all of us have it inside of us. There isn't anybody that doesn't have a misery. There isn't anybody that doesn't have an embarrassment, a grief. Demi, my daughter, wrote out some embarrassments the other day, and I enjoyed particularly the first one that she wrote out because it was an incident that had recently happened and I was part of it. She said, "Embarrassment is when you have been stealthily trailing your family through the woods and you suddenly realize that your mother has been trailing you." Now, there it is, just a little sentence, and you get the picture. But I think that it would be a very interesting story for Demi to write that up, to take that little sentence as an idea for a story, not just as an embarrassment is, to then forget about, to tell why she abandoned her family when we were out hiking together in the woods, why she hung behind until they had gotten so far ahead of her that they were no longer in sight. Why, when they called, "Demi, where are you? Come on, we're going." Why she didn't respond. Why instead she stood behind a tree.
You're expanding it right there.
Yes,
right in front of
this
me
is
here.
The sort of thing, you see, that would make an extremely interesting story. The thoughts that she thought as she went by herself. We all have a need to be by ourselves. And one of my scorns at the lake when I was a kid was the Girl Scout camp, where the scouts were always, it seemed to me, doing things in great mobs. They would walk around the lake in a line that would take, 5 minutes to go past the house. Well, I thought to myself, maybe not too specifically, what can you see on a hike with 60 or 70 other people? Anything worth seeing gets trampled or scared away before you get there. Demi probably had some of these same feelings. I'm out here in the woods. I want to be alone. I don't want to be with my family. I'm always with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the embarrassing incident was when we were finally all at the car, I went to get Demi, and I myself went stealthily because I suspected she was feeling this way. And when I finally spotted her, stood behind a tree, allowed her to come along, she would pause, she would look at things, she would sometimes just stand sort of vacantly as if thoughts were going through her head. Her attention would be caught by noises. I thoroughly enjoyed watching Demi trailing us. The other group was, noisily far ahead in the distance, so that I could write my little story too. We could have two stories from Demi's point of view and from my point of view. And this is the main thing that interests me in these misery little incidents, in the embarrassment incidents. To take these and not to just stop with the sentence, but to go on. What caused you to remember that? What were the other feelings that were involved?
Another reason I enjoy reading these, I think, is that so many of these things happened to me and when I was a youngster, and now I realize they bothered me more then than most things bother me now. And these things passed, they weren't as bad as I thought they were at the time, and I feel better about the whole thing.
But they were at the time.
At the time they were, yes. Oh, they're terrible.
Something that is bothering you at the time, even if in later years you look and say, why did that bother me? The fact remains, it did bother you.
I think what I mean is that this remembering those things helps me to not be bothered today by certain things.
Yes.
Because I can put them in a different
yes.
perspective.
I think telling these out helps in mm-hmm. a perspective even at the time. If you realize that something that bothered you when you were in second grade, first grade, that you agonized over, in a perspective doesn't seem as bad, then you might look at something that's bothering you right now and say, maybe I'm not seeing this in enough perspective. Or if you say, if in second grade I had just gone and told my teacher that I'd lost that paper, it would have been cleared up right away. That might cause you to think, here I am now, and this is bothering me. Maybe there's something I can do about this right now.
And what
you might
can
make
you do?
The leap, the leap from the one to the other.
Well, how would you go about using these experiences in a situation?
I think a good way to begin is with the Charles Schulz books, the misery books, if you can find them in your library. Discuss these with your friends, with your class, with your teacher, and use them as a starter. Try writing down what is misery, what is guilt, what is sadness, loneliness. See if you can get a little list, 8 or 10 of the sort that Demi has written. When you tell your mother angrily that you know how to get there and have been there many times before, and then you get lost. When you condescend to play a duet with your little sister, and it turns out she's better than you are. Those are embarrassments. And when you've got some embarrassments, pick out the one that seems to you that you wrote with the most relish. The one that when you thought of it, you wrote down with the loudest aha, or the grin on your face. And then take that little incident and think through it. What made me think of it? What was the beginning of that? How hard I practiced on this duet that had a cello part, and then calling in Jill and discovering that she could handle that cello part quite easily and rapidly. The chagrin you felt, it may be more of a story. You may get more of a story to it. The hamster down the mouse hole, misery, could turn into quite a long story. And this happened to us. It happened with an unhappy ending. It was a birthday party, and the hamster was a gift. And the package was opened, and the birthday girl couldn't resist taking the hamster out in her hands and setting it on the floor, and whisked. That hamster was gone down a cold air register.
And that was the end of the hamster?
And that was the end of the hamster. But it would make a story. You could end it happy if you wanted to, getting that hamster finally out of the cold air register, but all the different ways, taking off the grill and enticing it with food outside, and then it could make, you see, a long story, or a longer story, that would contain many more emotions than the one emotion of, say, grief is when you lose your hamster down the cold air register. Think of the hope as you would lie there waiting for him to come out to the bait that you've put there. Then think of the other feelings that would be involved, and to put in as many details as you could of the hamster search, and the final joy when Daddy finally takes the pipes apart because he's heard the scrabbling in the one section, and sure enough, there's the hamster. This is if you write your happy ending. Dusty and hungry, but safely back into his hamster cage.
And there'll be disagreements between certain people. I see one right here that I don't think everybody agrees with necessarily, right there.
Security is having a big brother. I'd say it sometimes is and sometimes isn't.
I know some little girls who do not like their big brothers.
I like what Linus says about big sisters and little brothers. He shouted after Lucy, after she had been treating him extremely badly, 30 years from now, you'll love your little brother. And then he turns to the reader and says, big sisters always love their little brothers 30 years later.
All right, Jackie. It's worth a try. Now, if you authors have fun with miseries, let us know, would you? Okay.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.